Okay, we are back in open session. We are on section number 3, our informal interviews. We are now on our 4-pack. So this is 2463 in regards to Amy Gassman, DVM. 2464 in regards to Athena Hamza, DVM. 2465 in regards to Ryan Lunt, DVM. And 2466 in regards to Heather Sanchez Scoldy, DVM. All right, so this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interviews of Dr. Gassman in case 2463, Dr. Hamza in case 2464, Dr. Lunt in case 2465, and Dr. Sanchez Scolfi in case 2466. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. So we'll start with Dr. Gassman. Will you please come forward and introduce yourself and your attorney?
Good afternoon. I'm Marie Richardson on behalf of Dr. Gassman.
Okay.
And I'm Amy Gassman.
Okay, great. Thank you. Dr. Gassman, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation, with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials that you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to submit, please do so at this time.
We do not have any additional materials.
Okay, thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everybody speak loudly and clearly and only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Nosley, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Okay. On October 30, 2023, Sammy, an 11-month-old male domestic short hair, was presented to Dr. Gassman due to straining to urinate, vomiting, and not eating or drinking. It was determined the cat had a urinary blockage. Diagnostics, treatments, and hospitalization were approved. The cat remained hospitalized for care and treatment of a urinary obstruction and azotemia secondary to the obstruction. On November 1st, 2023, Dr. Hamza, has Agena's, but it's Dr. Hamza, Agena Hamza, removed the urinary catheter. The cat was urinating on his own and eating and drinking. The renal values had also improved. Therefore, the cat was discharged later that day. Dr. Agena Hamza wanted to keep the cat longer. However, that would have gone over the estimated complaints. Had approved. On November 2nd, 2023, the cat was presented to Dr. Lunt for a recheck as the cat's condition worsened during the night. An AFAS revealed a uroabdomen. Dr. Lunt recommended exploratory surgery, which was approved. Later that evening, the complainants were advised that there was some necrosis present near the neck of the bladder, and a urethral tear was suspected. The urinary catheter was placed, and the cat was hospitalized for further care and treatment. On November 3rd, 2023, Dr. Sanchez-Scolfi took over the care and treatment of the cat. On November 4th, 2023, a contrast study was performed, revealed urine was leaking from the neck of the bladder, likely due to necrosis. The necrosis could not be repaired surgically, therefore complainants elected to humanely euthanize the cat.
Okay, thank you. Okay, at this time, Dr. Gassman, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Gassman, we would now like to give you or your attorney the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Dr. Gassman is prepared to just answer your question.
Okay.
Ms. Chairman, could I try to get the complainants on?
Sure.
So I can hear this piece of it.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Iverson. It's Tracy at the Arizona Veterinary Board.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. The board is holding the informal interview regarding the complaints mm-hmm. that you filed, and they are just starting their conversation with Dr. Gassman. So if you don't mind just kind of remaining quiet until our chair would address you to see if you'd like to answer any of the board's questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, I would like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Gassman.
Yes, hi, Dr. Gassman. We have the record describing the procedure of relieving obstruction. As best you can recollect, could you describe that procedure, the relieving of the obstruction and the urinary catheter placement in as much detail as you can remember, technique, materials used, and so forth?
So the cat was placed under total intravenous anesthesia. We did buprenorphine, diazepam, and alprazolam through an IV catheter. There's slow wave oxygen. The cat was carefully monitored for vital signs under anesthesia. The cat was placed in dorsal recumbency. We clipped and cleaned and sterilely prepped the prepucial area. And then I had everything set up to sterilely place a urinary catheter. I believe I don't remember if it was a 22 gauge IV catheter I used to relieve the obstruction initially, and that was all sterile. And then I placed, believe it was a 14 centimeter, 3.5 inch slippery sand catheter to place into the urinary bladder. And then we took an x-ray to confirm placement. The catheter was hitting the end of the bladder. It looked too long, so I removed it and replaced it with an 11 centimeter catheter, sutured that in. At no point was there any difficulty or everything was gentle. I didn't feel anything tear or rip through. And then the cat recovered fine from the anesthesia, and we monitored that.
Okay.
It's kind of everything. So
the record says a 22 gauge catheter, a polypropylene, just standard 22.
I think it was probably in just like an IV catheter.
Yeah,
like a
that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes they're Teflon, sometimes
oh,
they're
gotcha.
Where, and working with the obstruction itself, mm-hmm. where, how far in before you met resistance there and had to relieve that obstruction, and how did you relieve that? Where was it, and how did you get that?
I think it was in the distal urethra, if I recall, because that's as far as that little 22-gauge catheter will go in, and we just relieved it with gentle flushing, probably 3cc syringe of sterile saline.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to do that multiple times and then get it to relieve,
or
was it a pretty
so.
Simple?
Yeah, it was pretty simple.
And then did you express the bladder to get a stream of urine before you placed the slippery sand?
Yeah, I mean, we saw it. I actually didn't even press on the bladder. It just came, it
yeah,
came out.
Yeah, just relieved. Okay. And then you had to put a second because of the length. There was, in the 100-some-odd pages of records, there was a notation about the patient pulling out the catheter. When did that occur? Was that this or the later event?
The later event.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Just the records, you go back and forth and back and redone it.
Okay.
The catheter was removed the next day by Dr. Hamza. Is that correct?
It was 2 days later.
2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was in for an additional 24 hours in there. Okay. So regarding the imaging that was done post the procedure, there was an AFAST mm-hmm. ultrasound and also radiographs.
Yeah, well, we started with the x-ray just to check the catheter placement,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw a little bit of loss of detail.
Was that the radiograph you used to determine the catheter was too mm-hmm. long, and then you put it?
Correct.
Okay, and what were your, and then an AFAST later?
Yeah.
Was done.
And just right after that.
Right
yeah.
after that. So describe your findings on those radiographs for us and on the AFAST.
So it looked like there was a loss of detail, you know, the urinary bladder, which usually indicates that there could be some free fluid in that area. So that's why it led me to scan with the ultrasound, and I saw a small amount of urine, or not urine, sorry, fluid.
Fluid.
in the caudal abdomen, near the bladder.
Okay, so on the radiographs, you recognized the possibility, and mm-hmm. then that led you to do the AFAST. That wasn't standard. You just did that because you wanted to explore that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In your response letter to us, you used a term called, said, urine diapedesis.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe that, define that for me?
Sure. It's not uncommon to see that in cats that have a urinary obstruction. The bladder basically gets very stretched out, and all the cells in that area can get stretched out as well, where urine can actually leak through and leak actually into the abdomen.
Okay. So, okay, I'll leave that for discussion. Just, can you then describe the radiographic appearance of what you consider urinary diapedesis? I apologize, I'm making you repeat some of
that's okay.
Okay.
Just that loss of detail near the urinary.
Just loss of detail at that point. That's all the questions I have for Dr. Gasson.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay, you guys can just stay put there though. we will now hear from the complainant in this case. So Mr. Iverson, are you still with us?
Mr. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Mr. Iverson, we know you're the complainant in this case, and we've read the materials that you have provided. I would now like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I know you kind of missed the first part of this. We're taking these kind of one by one for each veterinarian in this case, and so if you want to speak specifically to your experience with Dr. Gasman, and then I'll give you the opportunity to also speak after we hear from the other vets as well.
Yeah, so first off, I'm a little bit confused because we had a hearing before and I thought this was all over, and then we're starting this. I didn't really know there was another part to all this.
Right. Well, sorry. So we moved these cases to this this proceeding to get more information from the different veterinarians. So
I mean,
we obviously have all of your testimony from previously. So certainly you don't have to comment after each one. I'm just wanting to make sure I give you that opportunity if you want to speak. Again, specifically to any experience or issues you want us to know about, specifically with Dr. Gasman in this case.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you have everything that we submitted, and it hasn't changed since then, so.
Okay, that is good. So now I'm going to ask board members if they have any questions for you. But it looks, okay.
I do.
Go ahead, Dr. Mosley.
This is Dr. Nosley. When did you first notice a problem with Sammy?
Oh, like it maybe a day or two before we brought him in there?
A day or two before you brought him to?
Yeah, we brought him in.
Okay. And what did you notice at that point?
That he was just becoming very, he was just different, where he typically wouldn't lay with me, and he started lay with me and trying to like say there was something wrong. He was just acting very different, and he was having a hard time going to the bathroom.
Okay. For about 2 days.
So the 2 days before we brought him in there.
Okay. During this conversations during this case, what do you recall regarding the conversation you had with Dr. Gassman about the possibility of a tear? This would be on 10:30.
I don't recall there being a talk about a tear, because the whole thing was is when they did this, that when we brought him in and they brought him into the back room, we brought him home the next day because we were told that, oh, he's doing better, he's eating, he's drinking. And so then we brought him home the next day, and when we brought him home, I think it was that night or something, but it was, you know, 24 hours or less. It was just the following day.
During the...
And then when we brought him home, he seemed to get worse, and then he was getting a fever. So then that's when we brought him in back again within 24 hours. Because he wasn't eating, he wasn't drinking, he wasn't peeing like we were told that he was doing at the clinic.
Right. So I guess specifically, you don't have any recollection of when you talked to Dr. Gassman. She relieved the obstruction and mm-hmm. talked to you that first night after
yep.
she did the procedure. Okay.
Yep.
At that particular conversation, do you recall Dr. Gassman discussing the possibility of a tear with you?
No, because that came from more after when we brought him back in, when we met with, I forget his name now, the other veterinarian, the director, I believe, or something like that there, Dr.
Lunt.
Lunt.
Okay.
Then when we talked to him, this was more when they admitted that there was a mistake, that a procedure, a protocol they should have followed, actually two, when they discussed. One was they should have did this liquid test or whatever it is, where they run fluid through the body and see if there's any tear or anything, and they didn't do that. And then the other one was there was no discussion on the positive. I think he was saying that's when he brought up the whole tear thing, when it could have been a tear, but nothing prior to that until we had met with him the following day when we brought Sammy back in the second time.
Okay. So nothing on the first day.
I don't recall, sir, honestly.
That's fine. What did you speak with Dr. Gassman, or was it somebody else in your household, or?
It was a combination of me, I believe it was me and Olivia.
Okay.
Because, like I said, I mean, this whole time, when we brought him in there the first time, they said, well, it's pretty calm, and, you know, they get an instruction, we undo and unblock it, so the cat goes home and everything's fine.
Right.
Well, that's what we were told the whole time when we brought him home the first time. But like I said, we put in our statement, he didn't get any better. He got worse. And it was like he was going pee or throughout his whole body. It was just, so all his pee or urine or whatever you want to call it was all leaking out through his whole body, basically, I guess.
Yes, we understand that. We have that information, and that's a pretty accurate characterization from an owner's standpoint. Thank you.
Yep.
So in regards to any of the other respondents, we should leave those for now.
Let's do that.
Yeah, that's the only questions I have for you regarding Dr. Gassman.
Okay,
sir.
Any other questions? Okay, so Mr. Iverson, I'll just have you keep quiet over there until I tell you your next opportunity to speak, okay?
Will do.
Okay, got it, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Gassman, do you or your legal counsel have any follow-up questions, remarks, comments you wish to make?
We would just submit that based on the evidence that the board adopt the investigative committee's recommendation for no violation of standard of care on behalf of Dr. Gassman.
Okay. Any final questions?
Do you have any comments regarding the conversation on day one regarding a possibility of a tear?
I do. I mean, it's in my client communication that night.
Saw that.
I did actually speak with the starters, and I do remember that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you both. So you may both step back now. And now I'm going to ask Dr. Hamza and your...
Madam Chairman, just for my three clients, could you start with Dr. Lunt?
Sure.
Is that okay? Because he has a statement that would probably...
Yep, make. Absolutely. So Dr. Lunt, come on forward. So we are now talking about 2464. And just both state your name for the record, and then I'll swear you in.
I'm Dr. Ryan Lunt.
And okay. David Saltperian is legal counsel for Dr. Lunt.
Okay, Dr. Lunt, do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We'd now like to give you and your legal counsel an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information.
Thank you. Let me just, this may be a benefit to the complainant. Procedurally, what happened in this case, it went to the investigative committee on March 5th, 2024, and in all four cases, the committee recommended that the complaints be dismissed with no violation. And then on April 17th, the case came to the board for the first time, and I believe it was Robin Janes indicated that she was inclined to accept the dismissal recommendations in all four cases, except that she had some questions regarding the free fluid that was noted. And if anyone else had questions regarding that, they would move it to an informal interview. So that's how we got here. And now Dr. Lunt wishes to respond formally to the summary that we provided.
Okay, thank you.
I guess I just have a brief description of the monitoring of fluid, since that was one of the questions brought up by the board that day. And so just on the summary, Sammy presented first at veterinary centers on October 30th. And that was around, according to the records, I think around 11 a.m. being blocked for a history of 2 days. He was unable to urinate. He was worked up and unblocked by Dr. Gassman, who she just explained about the x-ray. And she did a brief ultrasound, which revealed some free fluid. In fact, the urinary catheter passed a little resistance, and there was no pop. She assumed that the leakage was through, you know, stretching of the bladder, like she explained to you guys. She communicated this with the owner that night, but did state to him that there could be a urethral bladder tear, and we would recheck the fluid later that night. Care that night went to another doctor who was not involved in this case, named Dr. Koh, and that night she did another fast scan to check the amount of fluid. Did not feel that there was there was no progression of accumulation of fluid at that point in time that Dr. Gassman was seen. And then from that point on, there was no additional monitoring of free fluid. The urinary catheter was flowing well and with good urine production. When the catheter was pulled on the first, he was able to urinate at that point in time. Even, this may not be in the records, but he can do it, even urinated on one of the technicians that was handling him, putting him in the kennel when he was getting ready to leave. And there weren't any other red flags, according to the block cat, and was sent home that day. Represented to me on the evening of November 2nd, because he was lethargic and wasn't producing much urine at home. The owner stated that he was having some small amounts of urine in the litter box at that point in time. That was the history that was given to me that night. Some point in my exam, a brief ultrasound was performed, and there was a significant amount of free abdominal fluid that was determined to be urine, and that's when the rest of the case went along. But the remainder of monitoring abdominal fluid during the visit is very well documented in the medical record from that point on through Dr. Gassman or any of the other doctors, Dr. Bunce, and them that dealt with the case after.
Sounds good. Do board members have any questions for Dr. Lunt?
I didn't, but I have one. Okay. Brief one. As the surgeon that was in there looking at this, can you describe the neck of the bladder for us?
So there was an area, a distinct area of necrosis up near the neck of the bladder. When I went in there, I debrided and repaired that area of the bladder.
Okay.
And then still checked, and there was still fluid leaking from further up in the pelvic canal. at that point in time. So I assume there's a urethral tear up in the pelvic canal also in addition to this necrotic area. And that was the part that was repaired, left an indwelling catheter in place from that point on.
So it would be impossible for you to actually visualize a tear?
Correct. It was in the pelvic canal.
Don't have any other questions.
Okay. Any other questions of Dr. Lunt? Okay, thank you. You guys can just stay there. Mr. Iverson, I can now give you the opportunity if you want to again speak specific to the care provided to Sammy by Dr. Lunt. And again, if you don't have anything additional that you want to add, you certainly don't have to.
Yeah, my point is when we met with Dr. Lunt and there was two protocols that weren't followed. And he even covered the cost for his second stay in the hospital because of those two protocols that were not followed. There is admission that they weren't followed. Then why was Sammy sent home the first time without those two things being done?
Okay, so if board members have any questions for the complainant? Okay, so now again, just hang tight. And I want to give Dr. Lunt and his legal counsel the opportunity to respond maybe to those questions you just had and any additional remarks they wish to ask or share.
So I know of one thing he's talking about, and I don't know if I'd call it protocol versus what I would consider what I would do with that. And what I told him is that I said, if I saw free fluid, I would have done contrast study. That's what he was referring to, done a contrast study to see where it was coming from. Me not being the doctor who passed the catheter, was there in the entry or that, there's always different things involved in that. Now, I am the premises license holder of this hospital. So at that point in time, I did feel that there was a chance that maybe, I'm not gonna call it protocol, but maybe that we could have done something differently at that point in time. And so I told him I will comp going in and exploring the surgery and doing that, which we did do that, not necessarily as a guilt thing, but just once again, a standard of care type of thing. And so we took it to surgery, did that surgery for them. I said, if there was something we found in there that didn't have anything to do with that, which in reality we did, we found the necrosis of the bladder there that has nothing to do with passing of a urinary catheter, with that, that changes things up. But we continued care for this patient until the point that it was euthanized.
Go ahead.
So briefly, in your professional opinion then, the tear had been even suspected earlier. Would it been appropriate then to leave that catheter in place?
If we knew there was a tear, it would have been in place for 2 to 3 days or so. But there's times that's as little as 2 days. And this was, and I'd have to look at the exact time that this cat, I think, was in our facility for at least 36 hours, the initial time. But I think one of the things that I will state here, I think we're dealing with two different things here. I think all of the complications that ended up to the euthanasia of this cat involved necrosis of the neck of the bladder. That's where, when we did the contrast studies later, where the fluid was leaking from there. It had nothing to do with a possible urethral tear. It had to do with the secondary complication of necrosis of the bladder that's caused by the initial pressure of being blocked for a prolonged period of time.
Would you, in a less than 1 year old cat that was obstructed, I'm not saying how long he was obstructed, would this be an unusual thing to find necrosis?
It can happen anytime there's pressure.
Okay.
Anytime there's a significant amount of prolonged pressure on any organ, you can have necrosis.
Okay. So in your experience, this is certainly within the realm
of possibilities. It's within the realm of possibilities for sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions by board members? And again, you have the final word too if you have something else to share.
Just one more comment going on that. This case was, as in the record said, consulted with surgeons, with other specialists afterwards to kind of get opinions on that. I mean, it talks about Dr. Sidaway in there. And so there was definitely specialist opinions that were also consulted in this case.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. There's nothing further from board members. You may step back, and then are we going to have
If you have questions for the other two doctors, I don't know if you do or not, Dr. Sanchez and Hamza.
I do not.
Okay, if nobody else does,
then... Do you want to address the board for any, if they've done anything you prefer, if you have anything you want them to know?
I think the only thing I had was that...
And just for the record, this is David Stoll appearing for, as legal counsel for Dr. Hamza.
Okay, Dr. Hamza, I just have to swear you in, though. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, you can address the board.
The only thing that I had, the name confusion is, my last name is Achina, so either one is fine, but...
All confused.
You do have it backwards.
It's totally fine. The only thing is that the plaintiff and myself, with the time frame, he indicated, you also indicated 24 hours it was discharged, and he also was under the impression that the patient was discharged after 24 hours.
It was a 24-hour period in between. I'm sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt.
So, because he was seen on the 30th of October. Okay. October is 31 days, and I discharged him on the 1st. So it's close to 2 days.
Okay.
The 24-hour period, and that's the only thing I wanted to add on. And I think that was because of him not having his renal values to be at normal reference range, and we'd like to keep them hospitalized with urinary catheter in place until those are resolved.
Okay, thank you. So no further questions, comments?
And am I correct that you actually wanted to keep the cat?
Correct, yes, yeah. Usually the protocol we follow is that we would keep him hospitalized for an additional 12 hours and monitor after the urinary catheter has been removed.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You can go ahead and step back. I wanna give Mr. Iverson, so I looks like we're not gonna hear from we're not gonna hear from Dr. Sanchez Scudley, right? Nobody had questions, so
I have no questions.
But if you did, you have any final remarks that you wanted to make before we wrap things up on this portion?
Just that when we were talking with Dr. Lund, he specifically said protocols were not followed. So I just want to make that clear. And we were given, the whole time it started, after the fact, we were always given the impression that Sammy's doing better, even up to the point of euthanizing, where the nurse brought in and said, oh, he's out there walking around. He's, out of his kennel walking around on the ground, and then here we are euthanizing him. I mean, would they have to, within 2-3 days time frame? And never once were we told, well, there's a high likelihood or there's a chance that he might not make it through this. It was always, there was two protocols that were not followed. Now, if that is the case, and if that is true, what was told, and they wanted to pay the bill, then I would assume that some lawyer along the way, there was a mistake made. Sorry, I'm not angry, this is just my tone of voice. So excuse me, because I'm angry.
You're fine.
It's a little frustrating when we had all this documentation to, voice calls and recordings, and it was said it was protocols were not followed, and now he has passed away.
And that's the very reason that we're here today, discussing this among the four doctors.
Okay. So if there's...
Couple more for him.
For him? Okay, go for it.
Do you remember the doctor recommending that Sammy stay in the hospital longer than he ultimately did?
No, never once. The next day, if we were told he's doing better, he's eating, he's drinking, he's peeing. No, he's not peeing a lot, he's peeing like a dime size, but he is doing better. So that's why we took him home. We had already put up money for his first stay. If they recommended that he stay longer, we would have had him stay longer, especially my wife would have made that very clear that he has to stay longer. He was part of our family. And there was no recommendation that he stay longer in the hospital to monitor him.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to respond?
No, it was like, why don't you finish up your questions and then we'll get them the final.
So, there were all total, I believe, 6 or 7 doctors involved in this case. So you made four separate complaints against four doctors. Is there anything you'd like to add specifically about an individual doctor? Or is this a general complaint? And if so, why didn't it include the other doctors involved in the case?
Because the other doctors that were involved, we didn't specifically talk to, and they were the doctors that were involved is on the documents that we received from First Pet. There are the names that were on there. And I remember speaking specifically to Dr. Gassman, Dr. Sanchez throughout the night, and Dr. Luntz. So that's why they were on there. They were the three that were on the on all of our paperwork.
Okay.
And it was three different doctors. If it was a total of six, that's a lot of doctors. Why wouldn't the doctor follow up if somebody's patient? I know it's not a human being, but still a patient. You know, why all these different doctors? I mean, at some point you would think it'd get a little confusing.
Yeah.
Where a mistake could be made if all these different doctors are dealing with Sammy.
Thank you.
And why didn't somebody just do the liquid diamide test? If Dr. Luntz says that was protocol, then why wasn't it done? And I think his outcome might have been the same, but I think he would have been, maybe had a better, we don't know that though.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Mr. Iverson. I'm just gonna have you hang tight now while we wrap up, and then we're gonna go into board deliberation, which is for the board members only, okay?
Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. Stoll, I just want to give you and your clients, I know we're doing this kind of
right.
over the place, yeah. any final?
Right, my comments are very brief, just that we've had these cases before with black cats, and they can be problematic, especially when you have necrotic tissue. Just looking at this objectively and looking back, I think these doctors went above and beyond the call of offering free services and that nothing that they could have done could have changed the outcome in this case, given the necrotic tissue. The owner's referring to the breach protocol. Not to get into semantics, but my client, Dr. Luntz, said he didn't use that word. What he said was that he would have done the contract set. That's just diagnostic. That's not going to prevent or cure, save the cat's life in any way. Unfortunately, given the nature of the necrotic tissue, the die was kind of cast as far as what was going to transpire. And so we ask that you agree with the investigative committee and dismiss all of these complaints with no violation.
Okay, thank you. So this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. Dr. Nosley, take it away.
Okay, just to briefly summarize, we have four different respondents. Dr. Gassman, relieve the obstruction. Dr. Should I use Hazma or Gina? Oh, God, Gina, thank you. Followed up on the care, removed the catheter, released the patient. Then when complications arose, Dr. Lunt discovered the uroabdomen and performed the surgery. And then we haven't talked about Dr. Sanchez, who followed up with the care post the surgery. The first thing I'd like to say is this was a very well managed case from all of the doctors involved. It's really unfortunate that a one-year-old cat succumbed to an obstruction. That's a little bit unusual and certainly very disturbing for everybody, but as we know, complications arise, and that's why we're here, and that's why we're talking about these things. I think the way I'd like to do it is it okay if I change the order a little
bit?
Okay.
Yes.
So, starting with Dr. Sanchez, who provided the care after the surgery, exemplary care and communication. I see no issues there, and in that case, which is 2466, I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2466. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. Next, with Dr. Lunt, handled this case very well. The surgeon did everything he could. I see no issue with his management of the case, both either medically, surgically, communication-wise. The discussion will continue regarding some of these errors, but in the case of Dr. Lunt, I would also make a motion, and that is 2465 to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2465 against Dr. Lunt. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
And in the case of Dr. Rajina, who provided the care, the follow-up care after the relieving the obstruction, also, I think, followed all proper medical protocol and releasing the patient. I don't see any issues with the care of this respondent. And so in case 2464, I would also make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to dismiss case 2464. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, and then in case 2463, I think this is where the issues need to be discussed a little bit further in Dr. Gassman. And it does not involve the issue of the procedure. My concern in this is the fact that there was some imaging done afterwards and a discovery of potential problem, and then no follow-up. And I believe that was echoed by Dr. Lunt's statements. I would disagree with him in that there was no discussion of the possibility of a tear before the procedure. I don't think that would be standard of care. We can't basically go over every possibilities. If they occur, we deal with them, but not saying we're gonna relieve the obstruction and there's a chance we could tear the urethra. I don't think that would be reasonable and customary for most veterinarians to do that. So I would disagree with that part of his assessment. But then we get to this issue of the recognition of the free fluid in the abdomen on imaging and then failing to follow up with appropriate care. And if there was, and it doesn't sound like there was, but if there was a point that any intervention needed to be done or could be done that might make a difference, this was the time to do it, leaving that catheter in place longer. So, because we don't know the extent of that possible tear. And here the problem is, this follow-up imaging, Dr. Gassman was being very diligent, and she took a radiograph and saw the catheter was too long and put in a different one. I don't see any problem with that. And then recognized a potential problem. And to the point where then she then followed up with an ultrasound and still recognized a potential problem. So the question we have, does that fall below the standard of care? In most cases, this post-procedure imaging probably would not be done. I mean, if we'd already imaged for stones and that kind of thing, we probably wouldn't normally be imaging for fluid at this point. Nonetheless, it was done. So if there's any concern in the management of this case, it would be in failing to follow up, as Dr. Lunt said, some contrast study or following the animal, repeated scans, that type of thing. But I do not feel that falls below the standard of care for what would be reasonable and customary. I think that Dr. Gassman probably wishes she had, but did she fall below the standard of care in not following up? That's where it falls for me. So
I could be wrong, but I thought I heard in the discussion that they had noted on the X-ray, did an ultrasound, saw that there was some fluid, but then did an ultrasound later and saw that there wasn't an additional accumulation of fluid.
Did not, and at that point, find an additional
right. accumulation. So technically, there was kind of a further workup, right? We didn't see any.
There was a follow-up scan. That's your point.
Like, if there had been more fluid, then it probably would have led in a different direction.
Or a sooner going intervention.
Ms. Sullivan has some questions.
Yeah, also what I heard on that was that it's at that point they quit monitoring the fluid intake and outcome. I'm a layperson, so this is that's one layperson question.
They stopped monitoring for fluid
until they saw the significant
with imaging.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Two quick questions again from a layperson perspective. The difference in 14 centimeters and 11 centimeters, mm-hmm. can that cause a tear?
No.
No. Okay. And if, which gets to the point you were making before, if the contrast radiographs have been done on the 30th, after the blockage was remedied, mm-hmm. is that enough time? If there had been the start of necrosis, that it could have been remedied.
No, because the point, as we heard from Dr. Lunt, that necrosis was there previously. Probably the start of that had occurred before the initial catheter. Pressure necrosis at the neck of the bladder.
Yeah,
I mean that.
Okay. Yeah. And the cat was straining to urinate for 2 days prior to even coming in. So what were those crystals, stones doing to that area in that period of time?
Yep. Which is why I wanted to question the complainant about the length of time, because I've had them, as these doctors have, I've had them much longer than that, 3 days, and they did great.
Yeah.
I've had them 12 hours, and they did terrible. So they addressed everything medically. There was this one issue, and it's really hard because Dr. Gassman was following up and doing things that are not normally even done and discovered this. So I'm going to make a motion in 2463 to dismiss with no violation.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to also dismiss case 2463. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. So the board has voted now to dismiss all four complaints. This concludes this matter, and to all the doctors, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. Thank you, Mr. Iverson, for joining us via phone, and if anybody has any questions, please contact the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks to all four doctors for attending.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it.